The following talk was given by Father John Harden, July 14th through the 18th, 1999, Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life, Chicago.
Our present meditation is on vocal prayer. Vocal prayer. Our Lord, we know the second commandment of God, like the first, is a negative prohibition. You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Over the centuries, the Catholic Church has understood this commandment to be a positive one, telling us to pray. We might say the second commandment of God expressed the duty we have while we believe in God and honor the one true God, or even to pray and sacrifice to Him. We are told to pray and express our thoughts in words. My plan for this meditation is to cover the following subjects. What is vocal prayer? One of the main forms of vocal prayer practiced in the Catholic Church. Why do we practice vocal prayer? And finally, how can we improve our practice of praying vocally to God? In answering what is vocal prayer, we begin by observing there are two basic meanings to the idea a vocal prayer. In its broadest sense, vocal prayer is a prayer that follows a set form of words. In vocal prayer, the words are those of someone else than the one praying. Maybe the words of Scripture. Maybe the words of Christ. And maybe the words composed by the Church or one of the saints, like the prayer of St. Francis, or the take and receive the Suscipe of St. Ignatius. In its more specific meaning, however, vocal prayer is localized prayer. It is articulated prayer. It is a prayer that can be heard by the one who prays or and by others with whom and for whom I am praying. Thus, vocal prayer, as we're speaking of it here, is distinguished from what we call mental prayer. In mental prayer, we use our own thoughts to express our own minds to God. In vocal prayer, we adjust whatever thoughts we may have to the ideas expressed by someone else. Certainly, vocal prayer, as we've just described it, is most important. But as vocal prayer, we follow the formulary of someone else who composed the prayer that we say or recite. Now, what are some of the forms of vocal prayer? Vocal prayer comes from the Latin word vox, which means voice. In vocal prayer, therefore, the voice is used. And then we can distinguish various forms of vocal prayer, or ways which can vocalize our communication with God. Thus, vocal prayer may be simply articulated. We use words that are spoken, or a ritual where the words are accompanied by symbolic gestures, as whenever we recite the prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Vocal prayer may be prosaic in prose, or it may be poetic, depending on the words used by the one who is full of vocal prayer we are reciting. Vocal prayer may be myself praying as an individual. Vocal prayer may be collective, depending on whether one person is reciting or as we recite in church, during Mass, and many of us, using the same words, are praying to God. Again, vocal prayer can be vocalized just by the voice, or can be sung. Again, vocal prayer may be musical, when accompanied by a musical instrument. Again, vocal prayer may be strictly private, my own words, which I articulate to God. Around that subject, may I recommend, not done so already, to compose vocal prayers of your own. Vocal prayers that you will recite according to that formula which you yourself have composed. We go on. Vocal prayer may be continuous, or it may be repetitive. Finally, this list of the ways in which we can pray vocally is by no means exhaustive. It gives us some idea of the variety of vocal prayers which we can use either prosaically or singing, either alone or in the company of someone else. So much for the meaning of vocal prayer. We now ask, why must, yeah, the imperative verb, why must we practice vocal prayer? We must practice vocal prayer because we are human beings. We are not angels. When the angels pray, they pray in human language, in silence, we are human beings. God wants us to honor Him on both levels, both praying to Him in the depths of our heart and vocalizing, expressing our thoughts in such a way that either or both we ourselves can hear what we're saying, or especially in the company of others. All of this is part of the meaning of vocal prayer. May I recommend that we accustom ourselves to praying vocally, even though no one else is around, where we use our voice, use our lips, clearly use our ears, and even use bodily gestures, a bodily posture and movement. I could spend an 8-day retreat on the directives we Jesuits have received from St. Ignatius to pray vocally, but pray alone. And I can tell you, the gestures, the voice we use, the bodily movements, when we pray, as we say, vocally, are important. I think I can share this with you. In the first week of the Jesuit novitiate, we are trained how to pray vocally alone. We are first told to stand erect, make ourselves aware of the presence of God alone in the room. Then we put our bodies down on the floor, and literally we're instructed to kiss the floor as an expression of adoring God. Now we ask, why does God want us to pray, as we say, vocally? Which means we thank Him, we entreat Him with our whole body, which means not only in spirit, but in the flesh. Why? Because Ignatius tells us we are not angels, we are human beings. And as far as I can, I recommend this practice to you. I do not recommend that other people may be around to see what posture or gestures I am using. Yet we ask why? Because God wants us to pray not only as persons composed of a body, but a body and a soul. When we pray, we may and should pray with both our souls and our bodies. Moreover, we are not mere individuals. We are social beings. That means whether we are praying the actual company of others or not, it is wise to to use the body when I pray, as we say, locally. We are to speak to God as persons, but also we are members of the mystical body. And indeed we are members of the human family. As Christ told us, He blesses in a special way. He blesses us when we pray with two or three or more, as this morning we are praying together. God wants us to pray with others. He wants us to pray both alone and with others. In order to pray, as I call it, corporately, we are to be not only gathered together in one place, we are to corporately join with others, and they with us, in saying the same words, all standing, all kneeling, all sitting, because all this needs to be said. The whole wide world, the estimated 6 billion people in the world, they all need to pray. Having taught the non-Christian religions for some 30 years, I can tell you the Hindus, the Muslims, when they pray together, they gather together, bow in the same direction, in the same gestures of their heads, their hands, and their feet. Why should we all pray both as individuals and as members of society? Because we need God's grace on both levels. We need God's grace individually. We need God's grace collectively. I strongly recommend talking it over with your wife and children. If you're not doing it already, I highly recommend at least for a minute or two that you pray every day as a family. We need God's grace, I repeat, both as individuals and as a collective society. We go on. Our next question. How to improve our practice of vocal prayer? As with prayer in general, so on the subject of vocal prayer, there are volumes written by the saints, by saintly persons over the years, teaching us, training us, how to improve our practice of vocal prayer. Out of this treasury of wisdom, certain practical recommendations will improve our practice of vocal prayer. It is very important when we begin to pray vocally to open our wills to God. It is not enough to close our hands or stretch out our arms. The more ready I am to do God's will, and no matter what price to my self-will, the more attentive I shall be when I pray vocally, and the more effective will my prayer be in hearing for our purpose our vocal prayer. St. Ignatius has trained us from the first week of the novitiate to never begin a prayer without first making an act of the awareness of God's presence. This can mean standing up. This can mean kneeling down. This always means when I begin my prayer, hear vocal prayer, I make myself, hear the verb, I make myself conscious of the presence of God. All prayer, whether vocal or mental, is to be my praying. I must be aware that I am speaking to God. Second strong recommendation of the mastery of the spiritual life. If I'm to pray effectively our present purpose, pray vocally, I should have a sinless heart. The more I sincerely try to purify my heart of sin, whether I ask God's mercy when I begin to pray, or is mentally in my mind, tell God I am sorry for the wrong I've done, hear it every day. Third recommendation, I place myself, and that is not a mere figure of speech, I place myself in the conscious presence of God. While many people pray, a long time they may spend in prayer, for they have not begun their prayer by making themselves, one moment is long enough. Make yourself aware of whom you are praying to and with. In other words, placing yourself in the presence of God. In all prayer, but especially in vocal prayer, when I start and before I begin to pray, I make a deliberate act of the presence of God. This recommendation is not a pious urge. It is something we should do for the rest of our lives. Never start praying without first, maybe a short second, make yourself aware of God's presence. Realize, repeating it only for a moment, whom you are speaking to is the Almighty God. As we believe God is everywhere. But sadly, God may not be everywhere to us. I must make a conscious effort to be aware of God. Next recommendation. I remind myself, especially during vocal prayer, of whom I am talking to. So many people, over the years they've admitted, they will say long prayers. Oh, they're conscious of a person, all right. They are self-conscious. It may be only a moment here and a moment there, but these periodic moments are indispensable for the practice of all prayer, especially vocal prayer. Why? Because vocal prayer can become, oh, how safe this statement is, can become routine. Words can be said. The lips can be speaking, but the heart, only God knows where. Now he asks, how we are to pray. For this conference and about 40 minutes to share it with you. Question here is, how am I to pray vocally? I am to pray vocally by praying with a heart, a will open to God. I hope you hear this again. We should never pray without first opening our hearts to God. The more ready I am to do God's will, I repeat it no matter what price, to my self-will. It is not words I am pronouncing, not words you are merely hearing. This is the heart of all prayer. And my will is open to the will of God. For this, the more attentive I am to what I am saying, the more effective I am in loving God when I'm pronouncing the words of the prayer, the more effective will be my prayer, including for our present purpose, our vocal prayer. We are to place ourselves, I repeat, in the conscious presence of God. I make myself aware whom I'm speaking with, whom I am talking to. in God's name, I urge you, come on, whenever you pray, whether vocally or mentally, maybe just for a moment, make yourself. I use that imperative deliberately. Make yourself aware of the God to whom you are speaking, with whom you are conversing. Then, during the prayer, remind yourself, our prayers, unless we are canonizable mystics,